Okay, good.
Hello, it is the Little Mental Health Project, episode 2 of season 3, and I am so excited because today I am here again with my co-host.
Hey, it's me again, Mwai.
It's so cute when you do that laugh every time I introduce you.
I don't know why I do that. Like, why am I doing that?
No, but I like it. I like it a lot.
Hi, everybody. Hi, love. Happy to be back here.
I am glad. I am glad to have you back. And I am extremely excited about this topic. Yeah, you just did that laugh again. It's my favorite.
I'm really excited about this topic as well, but then also just a little anxious as well because... You know, I'll let you introduce the topic.
Yeah, all right. I am excited to introduce the topic of motherhood and mental health. And I am so lucky today because I am joined. My co-host is a mother, an amazing one at that. So basically today I will just be asking her 1,000 questions surrounding motherhood, surrounding coping and like the changes. And because this is not a topic that I think we discuss as often as we should, considering women give birth to children on a daily basis, but you know, we don't talk about how they process, because there's so many changes that happen, like when a woman gives birth, I mean, physically, mentally, and you have to like wake up in the middle of the night. There's 1,000 things that happen, but we don't really talk about it and how it affects the person's mental health outside the person as an individual, outside of being a mother and then having to transform and like learn, you know, becoming a mother. So last time we did not put out a disclaimer to say we're not professionals. We are just meeting others in companionship, and I just wanted to put that out there because in case people start to think either you and I are either a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I just wanted to like quickly put that out there. So Mai, are you ready?
I'm ready, let's do it.
I am excited. So I just want you to share a bit about your experience. Let's start from when you discovered that you were pregnant. What were the feelings surrounding that?
Okay. Okay, first of all, I'd just like to say I'm a new mother. So I just need to say that so that everybody understands that the experiences and just my overall experience that I'm sharing is just from a new mother, basically.
Yeah.
And also, I just want to say, my experiences is different from a lot of others because I'm a single mom, you know? So when having conversations on what my experience is about, I may touch on what my son's other side looks like, as in like, the relationship that he has, or rather lack thereof. So I wanted to be known that this is also not in any way trying to air dirty laundry or anything of the sort. It's just sharing my experience.
Yes.
But obviously I will need to make mention of you know, my child's father, because I mean, he didn't just appear, you know.
Yeah.
My child didn't just appear. So I may have to make mention of it also because in the topic of mental health, the relationship with him has obviously had an impact on me. Do you get what I mean? So all of that needs to kind of be taken into consideration. And as we go through the conversation, you'll hear about how I've basically dealt with that.
Yeah.
So I hope that this is me just sharing my experience, and it's not bashing or anything of the sort, and I'll keep it cute. I'll keep it polite as well.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate your vulnerability because I can't imagine this to be, you know, a walk in the park for you.
Yeah, because I find as single mothers, it's important that we also be given platforms to share, you know, and spaces to share our experiences and not be not be looked at some type of way for doing that, because at the end of the day, that will push single mothers into isolation, when in actual fact that shouldn't be the case. We're sharing our experiences as any other mother would, you know. And also I feel like, just because if you're a single mother, you're most likely one that has gone through some sort of trauma, whether it's your failed relationship or a death or something of the sort, divorce or whatever. You've obviously gone through some sort of trauma, and just being able to be given the space to talk openly about that is important, I feel. So, you know, to single mothers, it's okay. You know, we should be allowed to talk and share our experiences as well. And vulnerability is, I mean, this is how we heal, you know. Anyway, to answer your question,
I'm sorry, you owe me money. I absolutely love that. I absolutely love what you said about mothers should be given a platform to just, you know, share, because like the Little Mental Health Project believes open vulnerability is healing, and growing pains must be dissected. So I absolutely love that you say that. So I'm just going to leave it up to you to like just share your experience surrounding that, and if there's something that you say that I need you to expand on, I'm going to politely ask that I cut in, so that I ask the question before we lose that train of thought. How does that sound?
That sounds perfect. In fact, I would actually like you to ask the questions, because otherwise then I could just be rambling on and on. So please do feel free.
All right. Okay. I'm ready to hear what that was like for you mentally, emotionally, physically. I want to hear everything.
Yeah. Okay. So I fell pregnant in 2019. When I was in a relationship, when I was seeing somebody, basically, but it was a short relationship. It didn't last too long. And it was actually during my pregnancy that the relationship ended. So, I mean, I shared with my family at about, 3-4 months? And they were very receptive to it. They were positive about it. And I thank God for that, because, honestly, without the family support, I wouldn't have been able to get through that journey, just the pregnancy journey on its own, you know, never mind the motherhood journey. So I fell pregnant. We broke up before my son was born. And for me, that was a good decision to make. I'll get into that a little bit later on.
Okay.
And yeah, so then in 2020, I gave birth to the most beautiful and most amazing baby boy last year. Yeah, so he's 1 year, 4 months. And that was so crazy, because I don't even know. It's like when I was giving birth, I was like, wait, what is actually happening, you know? And because I was having a C-section, I was in the hospital ward, and I was like, wait, can we just schedule it for another day? They had already put the drip in and everything, and they're like, we scheduled your C-section for this day at this time. And you can't just decide that you want to go because you're feeling anxious. We just have to do it, you know? So, I mean, I gave birth then. I was surrounded by my family. Mike is a COVID baby. So, there weren't many people. Pardon?
Look at you.
Yeah, he's a COVID baby, so there weren't many people around at the time, but it was beautiful, you know. It was an intimate experience. I love being surrounded by my family and friends, and close friends. And then then after that I came home, and that's when it actually started. I struggled initially with, you know, breastfeeding and all of that. The physical toll was immense. You know, it was immense, and the healing time was quite slow. But then what I'd like to do now is get into the emotional part of it.
Yes.
So, the emotional part of it. It started off, you know, you kind of start off in a haze and in a bit of a daze, you know, when you give birth and everything. And then reality kind of just slowly sinks in that, wait a minute, you know, this is your person, you know, this is who you are, and this is your heart, literally, you know. And I think one of the most overwhelming emotions that I can speak of, the first that I can speak of, was the anger and fear that I felt at the same time when my child was crying uncontrollably. You know, like, it was colic. I don't know if you've heard of colic. It's when a child's intestines are basically they're coming into their own, if I may, as in they're how should I say this? As in the child is growing, they're newborn, you know? So it's like the intestines now need to start forming, basically. So in that process, the child goes through a lot of pain. And I didn't know what it was. I wish someone had actually told me about that before I had given birth, so maybe I could have been more prepared. But I noticed that I was so angry. You know, I'm like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Do you get what I mean? Like, my emotions and my anger were so crazy to me. That was my first overwhelming emotion as a mother, because I was angry, at the same time I was scared, like, why won't this child just stop, you know? And it was only later on that I found out about the colic, then I felt guilty, you know. I'm like, why he's just a little baby, you know, like, why would you feel that, why would you feel those emotions, do you get what I mean? But when I found out it was colic and how it was making him feel, like I said, I felt guilt, but then it basically just showed me that, you know what, there's a lot that you need to learn. And one of those things is being able to control your emotions, because your child's behavior, even at that small little stage, is communication. The child is not wanting to just cry for nothing, you know, they're communicating with you. And so that was the first time that I felt an overwhelming emotion. And then I later on found out how to deal with it. And that basically sets the tone for my experience in motherhood, basically. What I found is that in motherhood, your emotional growth, you know, the growth that a woman experiences within motherhood is one of the most challenging yet rewarding things, you know, because you have to deal with your child. And this is what I'm learning how to reparent myself, because when a child is doing whatever, I can't react negatively. I basically have to look at, I can't react to his emotions. I have to be the one to be regulated, basically. Because if my child is experiencing whatever overwhelming emotion he's experiencing, whether it's anger or fear or whatever, I have to be the one, and as his mother and as his main caregiver, to regulate his emotions. I can't now start to also overreact, because how is he going to be regulated? So within parenthood, there's a new concept that I am learning. It's not a new concept, but a new concept that I am learning, which is called it's called co-regulation, basically. And it's basically the communication between two nervous systems, like my child's nervous system and my nervous system, that communication whereby one calms the other. Do you get what I'm saying? So that is something that I'm learning at the moment, and it's very, very hard. And I'll just touch on this briefly. The reason I'm finding it hard and challenging is because for a long time, and we briefly talked about this in our last podcast, but for a long time, I developed unhealthy coping mechanisms just to life, you know, and that's when the drinking, the alcohol came in, like the alcohol abuse, etc. Now, obviously, if I had started a pattern of alcohol abuse, it meant that I was not addressing my feelings and my emotions, right? I was unable to respond to them. So basically, within motherhood, I'm having to learn how to respond to my feelings now. Do you get what I mean? Because I can no longer go out and drink. I can't do that anymore. Now I have to sit with my emotions. I have to feel them, you know? And that has been one of the most difficult.
Sorry, Mai, just to quickly comment on that, that must be really hard. It can't be easy processing.
It's extremely, extremely hard. it's extremely hard. But yeah, I mean, so for example, if I was feeling inadequate at any point, you know, before I had my child, I would just have a drink maybe to numb that feeling, because it was an uncomfortable feeling. If I was feeling rejected in any way, I would just have a drink, you know. But now I can't just have a drink, you know. I've got a little person to think about. Because if I do go down that path, that would be, that's another story, as we had spoken about. So having to come face to face with my feelings and my emotions has been extremely challenging, but at the same time rewarding, because I feel like I'm truly getting to know myself now. So whilst I'm parenting my son, I'm also parenting myself. And that's also now the concept that I had just mentioned, as well, reparenting.
That is reparenting. That is really dope. As you parent your child, you're parenting yourself. That's a lot of unlearning that you have to do as a person.
Exactly. It's a lot of unlearning. And it takes time, and it takes compassion for oneself, and just that grace, you know? So that's what's been happening. I've had to practice self-compassion, you know, which... it feels weird, you know, it feels like, wait, what's happening, you know, but that's what happens when you're trying to basically create a new norm for yourself, to create a new way of living, to create a new way of thinking and feeling. And it's important for me to really, really work on myself in this way. So I do a whole bunch of things. I've got a whole toolbox of mental health activities and tools, basically, just so that I work on being the best version of myself, you know? So, I mean, we've spoken about this before, but for example, I'll do a gratitude list every night. I journal almost every day, because when I'm putting my thoughts down on paper, it's like, it's like talk therapy for myself. Well, written therapy for myself. I'm putting what I'm feeling down. I listen to a lot of podcasts on parenting, you know, on single parenting as well, as well as obviously, you know, spiritual podcasts as well, because I need my spiritual backing. But I use a lot of tools to make me who I am today, which I believe is a more grounded person. And just a more well-rounded and wholesome person. And it's important for me to do that, because I'm a single mom. Well, yes, I'm a single mom, but I mean, aside from what I have just explained about not being able to drink and all of that, I'm a single mom, basically. So it's important for me to be the best version of myself, because I need to be able to show him things, because as a single mom, I had certain fears. I had certain fears.
Just real quickly, I'm so sorry. I need to follow up on something that you mentioned. You said you listen to a lot of podcasts and that actually help you in this, on this journey. And I just wanted to without going into details, to just quickly mention a few of those podcasts, because I'm pretty sure there'll be a lot of single mothers listening that might want to tap into the podcast that you listen to to actually help them. So you could just throw around three or four or two really that are your favorite podcasts that you think have been very instrumental to helping you with being a single mother.
Okay, so the first one, well, the main one actually that I listen to is Woman Evolve podcast by Sarah Jakes Roberts. Honestly, let me not even lie, that's the main one. It's been so pivotal in my life, because and to any single moms or anybody that wants to listen to them, don't get sidetracked, because the podcast starts with a whole section where they're discussing so many things, but about at the 45 minute mark or hour mark, they start going into the advice section. And in the advice section, that's where a lot of questions come in about motherhood, etc., and just you know, growth as a person. Now that is where the gems are, you know. So Woman Evolve podcast by Sarah Jakes Roberts, also because she was a single mother at some point as well. So it's always nice to hear from those that have that experience. There's another podcast as well that I'll mention. I can't really recall the name at the moment, but I'll remember it. I'll say it before this is done. Yeah, and then also just I'll mention some other ones. Those are not like motherhood ones, they're just general podcasts for like growth and development.
All right,
so I mentioned those and let me just remember.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. And I'd touch while you were in the middle of sharing, so I'll just ask you to like continue, but before I ask you to continue, I have like 1,000 questions, and I recognize that we'd agreed that this podcast was not going to be as long as the last one. I'll just not to hurry you or rush you. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to shoot some questions, and I hope you can remember as we're recording. And I'm also just going to send them to you right now, directly to your WhatsApp, so that you just answer those questions as you continue to talk. And I will try not to cut you as much as possible, because you're the one who is meeting us in companionship as a single mother. So I really do not have as much input today. So I think we touched on the physical transition from just you as a person to like being a mother. And like, I know there's a lot of like I think I mentioned at the beginning, there's a lot of like physical changes that happen. Sometimes your body stretches out. And I just wanted to ask how that was for you mentally, you know, watching your body change. And then also, I just wanted to ask you to share the joys of motherhood, and you shared on your fears, you shared on your emotional growth. Oh, you're doing a really good job. You're like basically answering the questions before I ask them. And your relationship with your child's father and your parenting style, and you touched on your parenting style already, and also basically to just share on the male figures in your son's life, and like what that looks like, and the importance of having them in your son's life and the relationship that your son has with them. Okay. If it's a little overwhelming, let me know. I'll actually be texting you. I'll be messaging you the questions as we go if you're unable to remember. But I really just took the questions from that list that you'd sent me that we discussed earlier on.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Yeah. So I'll be very brief because, yeah, we don't have long left.
We could do part two, because this is a very important topic. So maybe not to rush, not to like, you know, hurry ourselves into not answering the important questions. And if we're to give women, I mean, single mothers or mothers in general, a platform, I think it should be whole and like full, you know, and not in half measures. So what we can do is we can make this 30 minutes as we agreed, and then next week we can do another 30 minutes so that we actually, you know, tackle this in the best way possible. I don't know, what do you think?
Okay, that sounds good. So awesome. I suppose as I go through it, I'll basically just see where I could stop.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so I'm first going to tackle the I think I'll first tackle the joys of motherhood. So, I mean, as I'm growing, like I said, as I'm growing whilst my son is growing, I'm loving the life that I'm building for myself. I'm loving the fact that I'm really coming into my own now, and also realizing that, wait a minute, how I was living before, I feel like I didn't really have a purpose, as opposed to now, my son is my purpose, you know. He, the way in which I frame my life, the way I see things is so different because I'm having to genuinely think of someone else, you know? Not that I didn't do that with my family, etc., but it's a different kind of love, and anyone that is a mother would be able to relate. So I love the person that it's making me, because now I'm living on purpose. I'm living with that intentionality, you know? And another thing that I really love about motherhood is I love showing him things, you know, like, oh, Micah, let's do this or let's do that. And the joy and the glee that he gets on his face when he sees what's happening and, you know, he's taking in new things. It's priceless, you know. That's one of the things that I really, really love.
Yeah.
And then I love the fact that it's also my experience in motherhood has also really allowed me to grow in my relationships with other people, you know. Because when you become a mother, you value different things, you know. Mm-hmm. The things that you value are completely different from who you were back then. Mm-hmm. So relationships are important to me, my relationships with my family, my close friends, etc. You know, it's given me the time and the space and the know-how to properly be who I need to be within those relationships. Because whilst I'm working on being a better person, that is me basically filling my cup. Now, whilst I'm filling my cup,
mm-hmm.
I can obviously be in a position to overflow in a healthy way to other people. So that's what's happened, because I'm constantly filling my cup. I'm constantly working on me. It's a journey. It's a healing journey. You know, and it's a growth journey. So that's what's happening. Then I'll speak on the fears of motherhood.
Yes.
Actually, before my son was born, mm-hmm. one of the fears that I had was what people would say.
Yeah.
The shame.
Mm.
You know, shame because what's going on? You're a single mom. Why? Mm. What happened to you? You know, like, what's wrong with you? Your friends are getting married. You can't even, like, what are you doing? You know? So I did start off by feeling a lot of shame initially.
That's a really difficult emotion.
Yeah. It's a really, really difficult emotion. But one thing I learned within that, because I grew through that shame, and also just like sharing the story with you, helps lift that shame still, because it's one that still needs to keep being lifted, you know.
Yes.
What happened is I basically had to look at myself and just like I keep saying, look at myself with compassion, just to realize that, you know what you're doing is brave,
mm-hmm.
because you're not just allowing yourself to be in a relationship where the two of you are not compatible for the sake of your child having a home, or for the sake of society, you know, or for the sake of people pleasing.
Mm.
You're genuinely thinking about your mental health and your child's also mental well-being, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm.
So I'm proud of myself for the fact that I didn't just say, you know what, let's just have this home, this, you know, two-parent home just for the sake of it.
Mm.
That's something that was very difficult and still is kind of difficult sometimes, but it's something that I work through on a daily basis.
Hmm.
Another fear that I have is because I'm a single mom, I fear that, am I going to damage my child because he doesn't have a father in his life?
Yeah.
You know, is it going to be damaged in some way?
Mm.
You know, and from that, the biggest fear within that, oh goodness, my language, sorry, but no, from that has been just been fearful of how I'm going to help him navigate not having his father in his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm.
It's scary to me because soon he'll be going to school.
Yeah.
Soon he'll see other kids with dads and stuff, and soon there will be questions.
Yeah.
So it's very, very scary to me as to how I'm going to deal with it, mm-hmm. because it's important that I show him
mm.
that whilst you may not have your father in your life,
mm.
it doesn't mean that your family, yes, it's a different family unit. It's not the traditional two-parent home, but this is also a family unit, you know? It's different though,
mm.
but it's also a family unit.
Yes.
Yeah. So I need, whilst he's growing up, I need to be able to help him navigate that. I need to be able to show him mm. that this is also okay, just different.
Yes.
And I need him to be able to internalize it so that as he grows, he doesn't grow up with shame. Do you get what I mean?
Yes.
yeah, with shame of coming from just a one parent home. Mm. And then where am I now?
Sorry?
I think that's it on the fears of my motherhood experience so far. Do you have any?
I do not have a follow-up because I feel like you're doing an absolute amazing job of just sharing everything and like answering the follow-up questions that I have in my head by yourself. So I think that that is absolutely amazing. Do you think we should stop here for now and then we continue next time so that we can delve some more into the relationship with your father's child and then, you know, the male figure.
Child father.
Wow. So sorry. Oh, goodness. Okay, baby daddy, okay? Your father's child. Wow. That's you. That's you, bro. That's you. Yeah. So maybe next time we talk about this, we could like delve some more into some of the things that we were not able to talk about, but I am, and we could like dive more into like what your mental health looked like at that point, and if motherhood in any sense, in any way made you want to actually seek professional help, and you know, just some of those things, so that, you know, like you said, it's important to give people a platform to just share on their experiences. So is there any last minute thing that you want to say before we can actually sign off?
I don't think so at the moment. I just think that if there's anything I'd like to say, it's just thank you for giving me the space to talk about this.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason why single mothers shouldn't be speaking openly about their experiences. It's an experience to be shared, you know, and I hope I deliver my experience and share it in the way I should be, as in I hope I share it positively and gracefully as well. And if I don't, then I'm also open to being educated as to how to better share it.
I think you did a very graceful and good job on sharing your experiences. I couldn't have imagined a better co-host / guest on sharing this topic. So absolutely appreciate you. And because we're going to continue this topic next time, it's bye from the two of us.
All right then.
Yeah. So you say bye with your cute laugh.
Very funny, very funny. All right. So bye, guys. We'll come back for part two later.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.